Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from The Morning Show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes. I'd like to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. AFR.net, any podcast platform, or at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, my book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now available on Audible. So come join us at Sandy Rios 24/7, and remember, God's Velvet Hammer, available at Audible.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Thursday, October the 17th, 2024. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson. Good morning, Brother Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
Chris.
Hello.
Chris Woodward. And then in Kansas City is our good friend, Dr. Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well. You back? You feeling well now?
You know, I was down for a few days with, strep throat, which first time in my life I ever had it.
And, really?
Yeah, they gave me a cocktail of drugs that have pretty much knocked it out. But you know, that stuff, Tim, that's pretty tough. Once you get, it's hard to kick it.
Strep throat. That's when it hurts every time you swallow. Mm-hmm. At its, you know, when it's at its worst, and you got a red throat, and so they give you penicillin. What they knock you up with?
Something called Augmentin, something, you know, which is like amoxicillin on steroids.
Okay, there goes your Olympic career.
There it goes, right there. You know, I was just on the cusp, almost made it.
You were going to bicycle in 2028.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, we're glad you're feeling better and back with us today. Give us a good word from the Bible this morning.
You bet. From 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, Paul was writing to his friends in Corinth, and he said, I'm going to come see you, but not right now, because I got to stay in Ephesus. Well, Paul, why do you got to stay in Ephesus? And he said, because a great door for effective ministry is opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Sometimes we read a verse like that and go, Paul, well, what do you mean? How is it that you have an open door if you got all these enemies? My friends, understand, in the service of the Lord, opportunities and enemies often, if not always, go together. When God opens a door, the devil stirs up the enemies. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., I like to say it this way: the door of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. So if today you are facing some difficulties in your service for Christ, do not give up. Do not give up. The devil is out there, friends. He is like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. But when God opens the door, go through it, knowing it won't be easy, but the Lord Jesus himself will walk with you. Open doors and adversaries, they go together in the service of the Lord, and the Lord goes with us as we go through those doors to serve him.
Amen.
That's Fred. Amazing. Yeah. That's a sermon, not even 3 points, but that's a sermon.
I mean, what a great truth, right? The door of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. Mm. And everybody who's tried to serve the Lord goes, you know, that is right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen. All right. So before we jump into the interview last night that Vice President Harris did with Fox's Bret Baier, and there's a lot to talk about there. This is, I guess you would call it breaking news, Israeli military.
Mm-hmm. Yes. On AFN.net, you can find this story. Fred posted it just before the show. Israel says it is looking into the possibility that the Hamas leader, last name Sinwar, who is believed to be the mastermind of the October 7th, 2023 massacre of hundreds of Israelis, has been killed in a military operation. His death, which has not been confirmed, would be a significant moment in Israel's year-long war against the Hamas terrorist group. A lot of people are already posting about this on X, as if it is confirmed. Israel, again, is still investigating. But a journalist by the name of Amir Mizrak posted on X today that, according to his sources, Sinwar may have been killed by an infantry soldier who has only been in uniform for 9 months. The guy was not part of the Israeli military back on October 7th. That's being attributed to an Israeli local news outlet there called Channel 11.
All right, so Fred, if this fella has been killed, who do they suspect he is again?
Yahya Sinwar. Okay. He is the Hamas leader. They attribute to him that he was the architect of the October 7th massacre of more than 1,200 Israeli men, women,
and children. So Israelis have been looking for him.
They have been looking for him. He's been around the Hamas territory for some time. He has, according to an Associated Press report, he has killed other Hamas leaders to get them out of the way, to gain power. An interesting note, Tim, I was mentioning this to you just before we went on the air. Again, according to the Associated Press, back many years ago, he was amongst 1,000 Hamas terrorists that were arrested by Israel. And while he was in prison in Israel, he was diagnosed with brain cancer. And Israeli doctors are given credit for saving his life. And he was eventually released. He was supposed to stay in prison for the rest of his life. But Israel released this guy along with 1,000 other prisoners in exchange for one Israeli soldier. Mm. And he has risen through the ranks. He has brought close ties between Hamas and Iran. And as I say, he is believed to have been the architect of this horrible massacre on October the 7th.
So why do you think that this is being mentioned when it's unconfirmed, I wonder?
Well, my speculation is that they're pretty sure.
Right, gotcha.
But they want to do some DNA testing just to make sure.
Ray, this once again approves you can't hide from the Israelis.
You know, this guy is the ultimate bad guy. He's like the Osama bin Laden of October the 7th.
Right.
He's the guy who thought it up. He's the guy who planned it. He's the guy who led it. He's the guy who pushed the button and said, let's go. And what, 1,100, 1,200
right.
Israelis were slaughtered on that day. And you know that Netanyahu and the cabinet and the leaders of the Israeli military, they said, we're going to do whatever it takes to get this guy. And I think it's exactly what Fred said. I read somewhere that they have a body. They actually have the body. Mm-hmm. And they said, quote, it looks just like him, but they're doing the final test. I don't think they would even put the name out there unless they were reasonably certain already. God bless the Israelis. They are not messing around. Whether it's up in Lebanon or down in Gaza, they are going to destroy those who have meant such harm to them. So I hope they got this guy.
Yeah, I think this is the Israel's viewing this as one of those once and for all moments, and that is, you know, that they're going to take this opportunity to take out everything they can about Hamas and Hezbollah.
Yes.
The leaders, the soldiers, so to speak, the infrastructure, the hiding places. If they have to go into another country like Lebanon, or they will.
Yep.
They will, because they have to. They view it as survival, and they have to defend their land and their people. And
you know, the Iranian leaders must be pretty nervous right now too, because just a few weeks ago, Israel took out Nasrallah, who is the Hezbollah leader. He was deep in a bunker in Beirut, and they found out where he was and took him out. Now we do know that the Israelis have said they have their plan in place to retaliate against the Iranians, the missile attack back there a few weeks ago. So if I was a leader in Iran, I might be a little nervous today.
Hey, associated with this, if you can believe this, the Biden administration, which would include Vice President Harris, they've told Israel, what have they told Israel, Fred?
Mm-hmm. They have given Israel 30 days to increase the humanitarian aid into Gaza, or the Biden administration says we will cut off funding for new weapons in Israel. They've given them 30 days.
If Israel doesn't do
open up the channels for more humanitarian aid. Yeah. Now, Israel has said it doesn't have a problem with putting humanitarian aid in there. However, they know that what happens with that humanitarian aid, these Hamas terrorists take control of that.
Right.
And they feed themselves, as it were.
Right.
And not the people.
Right.
What one report says what Israel wants to do, okay, we'll put lots of humanitarian aid in there, but we want to be in charge of the distribution.
Well, they have to be. Listen, if you can bring trucks into Gaza, for example, from Egypt, or ships from the Mediterranean, and they already do this, Israel already checks this, but you have to be able to also to check not only for the food and the medicine and the water and all those things, but also how about weapon parts?
Yes.
To make rockets, mm-hmm. okay, that Hamas uses. You've got to take time to check for those things mm-hmm. as well. So are there people suffering in Gaza? Yes, there are.
Yes.
As a result of the war, yes, there are. That is a true statement. But Israel has to be careful about what they allow into Gaza. And Biden and Harris are saying you're going to have to speed it up and do more to let humanitarian aid in, or we're going to cut off your – did they say really cut off their weapons?
Mm-hmm.
Cut off the funding for weapons.
Yeah.
That we give Israel.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. The entire time I've been on this planet, we've been giving the so-called Palestinian people untold amounts of money, and terrorists do control it and still attack Israel.
Well, we, the United States federal government, we have always given money to Israel as part of our foreign aid that we do to countries around the world. And we also give money to We've given money to the Palestinian people. I don't know how that works now. I don't know who you give that to exactly. We give money to Egypt. Mm-hmm. You know, we give money. United States federal government, that's kind of redundant. The United States hands out money around the world.
We do. Taxpayers hand out money. It's distributed by the government.
Yeah. And some of it's meant, you know, some of it's we buy people off.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's good. Okay. You might say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I'll give you for an example. We give Egypt a lot of money, but the condition there is you keep peace with Israel.
Has anybody on the show, one of the hosts, has anybody ever been in or around Gaza when you've gone to Israel? I've never been.
No, you don't go there. Ray may have been, you don't go near there.
No. I mean,
within 50 miles.
No,
right?
You don't go within 50 miles on a tour.
I was in, this is back in 1984. Now remember, Gaza wasn't turned over to the Palestinians until 2005 or 2006.
Right.
But I was there in 84. And I remember walking on the beach in parts of what's now is southern Gaza. Because it was under Israel's control.
Oh, yeah, okay, got
right.
you. At that time.
Well, along the Mediterranean, it's probably beautiful there, isn't it?
It was beautiful, beautiful beach, but not a soul there.
Yeah.
Our bus tour, we were the only ones walking on this beautiful beach on the Mediterranean.
Yeah.
We were on our way down to Cairo.
Oh, you went to Egypt?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so you crossed into Egypt, went to Cairo, go see the pyramids and everything?
I actually stuck my head inside the door of a pyramid.
Wow.
What, did you see King Tut?
No, he was way down inside.
Did you hear walk like an Egyptian?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did ring the doorbell, but nobody answered.
Nobody.
I've been to Egypt, Mississippi.
Well, that's not exactly the same.
It's not. It's not.
Hate to tell you.
That's an actual place, America.
All right. So, as is Rome, Georgia.
Yes.
I've been there, too. Athens, Georgia. They just got all kind of places of history over there.
You know, it's an interesting question, guys. When will Israel retaliate? They've said, Fred.
Against Iran.
Against Iran, right. They've said they're going to. They've picked out their targets. I mean, I was thinking to myself, if I was going to buy a home in Iran. I don't think I'd buy one near a nuclear facility at this point, right?
No.
No, real estate agents aren't showing those properties today.
That's not a good thing to do. But look, here's an interesting question that's popped into my mind. I don't know how much American politics plays into all this. Do you think it'll happen? Do you think they will attack Iran before our big election on November the 5th? Will that even be a consideration for the Israelis?
Probably.
Yeah,
probably.
I think Netanyahu will do what he wants.
Yeah.
But the Americans have been pressuring since that Iran missile attack back a few weeks ago. The United States, the Biden administration, has been pressuring Israel not to attack the nuclear establishment or the oil wells.
Yeah.
They would prefer. They don't want Israel to do that.
All right, we'll move on to the interview last night. Mm-hmm. But before I do that, let me just say this. This is one distinctive between Trump and Harris
mm-hmm.
on Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
What will be the policy of the United States towards Israel?
Yeah.
If Harris is elected, they will be anti-Israel.
Yes.
If Trump is elected, they will be pro-Israel.
Yes.
And I'm talking broadly and generally with maybe some small caveats here and there. In that definition, but I'm telling you, Harris and the people she hangs out with, they're trying to play it like they're neutral right now. No, you wait. If she were to get into office, the policy of the United States would be anti-Israel. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that exactly would look like, but that's what it would be. Trump, in his time in office, was pro-Israel.
Yes.
And so that's just an issue to consider mm-hmm. when you go to the polls and vote. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. All right, last night, do we know how many people watched that interview between Bret Baier and Kamala Harris?
I've not seen a ballpark figure, but it's safe to say it's in the millions.
Yeah, and also the clips went around the world, so to speak, because many people were questioning why in the world is Vice President Harris going to do a one-on-one interview with Bret Baier on Fox News, Fred?
Well, the speculation, the analysis has been because of the polls of late, which show Harris slipping behind Donald Trump. So the Harris camp believed that by going on Fox, that she might be able to persuade, for instance, some so-called independents that might be watching. Whether she did or not, that's another question.
Yeah. Chris, what happened last night?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, bring
us some of the hits.
They got into a lot of things.
She was late to the interview, wasn't she?
She was. So, tardy for that.
She has a reputation for that, and I'm being serious, mm-hmm. of being late everywhere she goes.
Well, politicians in general, certainly those in office, they'll call a press conference, and then 45 minutes goes by.
Yeah.
And reporters are getting antsy. But, yeah, they touched on a number of things from gender transitions or gender manipulations, as AFN refers to it, to immigration. Let's begin with this one because we touched on this issue a little bit earlier this week, and so this is kind of continuing coverage. There was a moment about one-third to halfway through the 30-minute interview where Bret Baier talked about, and he brought in the audio of her past support for things like taxpayer-funded gender manipulation procedures for prisoners. Clip one.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access.
So are you still in support of using taxpayer dollars to help prison inmates or detained illegal aliens to transition to another gender?
I will follow the law. And it's a law that Donald Trump actually followed. You're probably familiar with, now it's a public report, that under Donald Trump's administration, these surgeries were available to, on a medical necessity basis, to people in the federal prison system. And I think, frankly, that ad from the Trump campaign is a little bit of like throwing...
I have no idea what she said at the very end there.
Yeah. Well,
it's kind of indiscernible.
She said... I will follow the law.
Yeah.
No, she was that interview that they now some a lot of political ads are manipulative and they are deceptive mm-hmm. and they lack context and all sides do it every day all day. So Republicans do it in primaries against one another, as do Democrats. So attacking your opponent with half truths is as American as apple pie. Mm-hmm. Okay. However, what Harris right there is trying to deflect is exactly what she said in the interview that was shown that Bret Baier played, and that is she's at a LGBTQ friendly conference or doing an interview, and they're asking her, do you agree to pay for our surgeries for people who want to transgender while they're in prison with taxpayer dollars? And she said, yes, absolutely want to do that. Remember, she says play that again.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access.
There you go. I mean, there's nothing ambiguous about that. She's in favor of that. Now she's trying to, not answer the question Bret Baier asked her about that, because that position she holds is highly unpopular with the voting public in America. I would probably 10% of people would say, yeah, use my tax dollars to do transgender surgeries on prisoners. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Maybe 10% high. Mm-hmm. So I think she's trying to, on the one hand, she's trying to say she's all for it. And then when she's called on it in front of Bret Baier, she says, I don't know. I'm going to follow the law.
She'll follow the law. The other thing she quickly said, well, it was going on when Donald Trump was president. The difference is she is an advocate for this happening. This was happening under Donald Trump's watch as well, but he wasn't an advocate.
Well, and he didn't approve of it.
Yes.
And I don't think, quite frankly, I don't know all this. I think this was a state issue. So this was maybe going on in California where their government's just whacked out liberal. They'll do a lot of insane things, include pay for surgeries for people who want them in prison. They'll put people in California, correct me if I'm wrong, they will, if you're a man and you're convicted of a crime and you go and you say, hey, I'm changing to a woman, put me in with the girls prison. They'll do that.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of place you're talking about in California. I know there's a lot of great people in California. It's a beautiful place, a lot of great history. But their state government is Looney Tunes, okay?
Yes.
Looney Tunes left.
Yes.
So, and that's where Kamala Harris comes from. All right, Ray, you want to say anything about this before we move on to, we're going to take a break and move on to Kamala.
Well, she's doing all she can to deny, deflect,
right,
and then lay it off on Donald Trump. This issue is a big one for the voters, Tim. It's a big one. And
I think she loses a lot of black voters on this one.
Yes, she does. Mm-hmm. Yes, she does. Mm-hmm. I hope Donald Trump bangs the drum on this coming down these last 19 days.
All right, we're going to take a short time out right here. Pardon me. Ray finished early and had a little something in my mouth there. Keep talking, Ray. I got to get through with this. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a short time out. And then we'll be back with more of Kamala Harris's greatest hits.
Yes,
that she
we had several
at the concert last night with Bret Baier. So, why did she do this interview? Most people think it's a Hail Mary. Most people think her internal polling shows she's behind in the swing states, in particular, and she needs to do some catching up. If she can, and how do you catch up? You try to go on a big network like Fox News and do a great interview that you can promote. Did that happen or not? We're going to talk more about that when we get back from this break.
Could the fate of America's children be tied to the fate of our nation? Much like abortionists who end the lives of the unborn, the left is determined to undermine the pro-life movement. First, they target the babies. Then, they come for the rest of us. Preborn stands as a beacon of hope for the most defenseless among us, preborn babies. Every day, Preborn's network of clinics rescues, on average, over 200 babies while surrounding expectant mothers with God's love and offering a free ultrasound. Rescuing the miracle of life has never been more crucial as we navigate this time of moral decline in our nation. Will you join Preborn in protecting the least among us? For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and give a mother the chance to choose life, not only for her baby, but for herself. An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
But he saves the poor from the sword of their mouth and from the hand of the strong. So the helpless has hope and injustice has shut its mouth.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
The breaking news out of Israel is that the Israelis have very likely killed the leader of Hamas. I don't know where that would have happened. Somewhere in Gaza, I would guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know that for certain, but that's the world. That's the leading news story in the world right now. We will see if that's confirmed, probably in the next few hours, because we're being told by the news reports that there is a body. So Israel's been on the hunt for this guy for over a year since he is the mastermind, they say, behind the October 7th butchery that killed 1,100 Israeli citizens on that fateful day we all remember. So you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray. And in a moment, we're going to get back to the Harris interview with Brett Baer, Vice President Harris with Brett Baer last night on Fox News, seen by millions and millions of people. Don't know why she did that interview, quite frankly, myself. She'd have done better not to do it, but somebody told her to do it, and she probably, the best grade she got out of that thing was a D+, I'm thinking, Fred, huh? Yep.
Yeah, I would agree. She came off as being very arrogant.
Yeah.
She came off as refusing to answer the direct questions that Brett Baer put to her. You know, he asked, for example, we'll get back to it, but he asked her, you know, you guys have been in power for the last 3.5 years. Her response to all of that was, well, all this bad stuff's been going on for 10 years, and that's when Donald Trump was president.
Yeah. You know why she didn't give good answers? Because she doesn't have any.
Well, that's right.
Which is why you don't go on TV and do an interview, right?
Yep.
Look, I don't doubt, Tim, that there are some Fox News viewers
who are
loosely conservative,
right?
But perhaps do not wish to vote for Donald Trump, and maybe she thought she could. There's a
she might appeal to them.
Go, maybe. Yeah. I don't think she helped herself at all.
Yeah.
No.
Nope. I didn't watch it. Fred watched. I watched clips of it. Fred watched it. Mm-hmm. Did you watch the whole thing, Chris?
Yes, I did. And I will say, if you can't handle tough questions from a guy on Fox News, how can people expect you to take on a dictator?
Yeah. That's like Jack Nicholson almost right there. If you can't handle, what'd you say?
If you can't handle.
The truth.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we're going to come back and talk more about this because there's a couple more points we need to make with her interview. But before we do that, we go to Minnesota where our friend Jan Markell is on with us. Jan is host of Understanding the Times, which is the radio program heard each weekend, Monday, Saturday, and Sunday here on American Family Radio. They cover such issues as Bible, the current events as it relates to Bible prophecy, what's happening with in Israel, the Jewish people, a lot of issues covered by Jan and her team there. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on. Whose music's playing?
I'm sorry. I got several phones by me, and that was another one. I apologize.
Several phones? Oh, you're like
she's an agent.
I'm trying to.
Are you an agent for some
handles Michelle Bachmann's publicity.
I'm important and I'm not.
Yeah. Oh, that was a drugstore, huh?
Yeah.
Hey.
It was.
You don't have to tell us. We're not interested in your private cell phone business there.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. So, Fred, you have a question for Jan.
Jan, have you heard the news coming out of Israel at this hour? Your response on this is just another example of how Israel is able to get to the very top of the terrorist leadership.
You know, it's truly amazing, Fred, and fingerprints are confirming it is Sinwar, and this is a happy day in Israel. This man, again, it's hard to imagine the mindset of a man like this, a monster like this, who plans for such overall destruction, and they, in their mind, you know, they're planning with great joy and glee that so many are, they're going to kill so many. The Western mind, and certainly the Christian mind, cannot wrap around this kind of terrible, terrible evil, but he is gone off the planet at this time, and we know what his ultimate destiny is, and he will be in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever after Judgment Day. So it is a happy day for Israel, however.
You know, so they are confirming this.
Jan has got some information. All right. Jan, you know, I mentioned at the top of the program, we were discussing this, and I mentioned that he was once a prisoner in an Israeli jail. He was diagnosed with brain cancer, and Israeli doctors saved this man's life.
Fred, it's hard for us again to wrap our brain around this, because you're absolutely right. This is the contrast here between the Israeli mind, which loves freedom, which loves life. This is the Western mindset. It loves life. This other Islamic mindset is the death cult. And there's such a stark contrast. And what you just said, you sort of said it all in one sentence. Exactly. Israel saved his life, and yet this man only lived to take Israeli lives and to destroy the whole state. Yes.
Hey, Jan, what do you got coming up on your show this weekend, heard here on American Family Radio?
Yeah, well, I've got Dr. Mark Hitchcock this weekend and Curtis Bowers, so it's a 1-2 punch, and we'll be talking some election-related issues. And believe me, I'll tell you, gentlemen, Minnesotans are really, you know, we're on the edge of... We've been dealing with Tim Walz for a lot of years here, and we don't want to see this go to the next level into the White House, because I can tell you from firsthand experience, that would be a catastrophe. So we're praying.
Yeah. We've talked about this before, Jan, but, you know... You wonder, how does a guy like Tim Walz, who's far, far left, he's probably to the left of Bernie Sanders, how does he get elected in any state? And Minnesota is, but Minnesota is divided by the Twin Cities area, I guess, and then the, what I call them, the real people out there in the, go ahead.
Tim, you're absolutely right, and I live in the Twin Cities,
right.
And we got two societies here. We've got Minneapolis-St. Paul, and then we got the real Minnesota with real patriot-loving, freedom-loving people. You're dead right. Yeah, but it's the Twin Cities, yes.
How many Somalis did Obama bring in to the Twin Cities area?
I believe he brought in 30. Let's go back to the 90s. They began coming in the 90s under Bill Clinton, and then many, many more came here in recent years. We have tens of thousands of Somalis and others from Islam.
Do they all vote Democrat?
All vote Democrat.
Okay.
If they vote at all, they're going to vote Democrat.
Well, there you go.
It's a nightmare.
There you go. If they vote as a bloc Democrat, that's a big part of the changing the dynamics of...
Yes. Exactly right. We call it the Red-Green Alliance, and it's here in Minnesota, and it's a nightmare, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Jan, thanks so much. We look forward to hearing your show this weekend. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having.
Okay.
Bye now.
Take care, Jan.
That's Jan Markell, and she joined us from Minnesota, and she hosts the program on the weekend.
Understanding the time, Saturday at 1 p.m. Central and Sunday at 12 noon.
So. Yeah, Central time.
Yep.
You're listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Now, last night, again, coming back to the interview between Harris and Brett Baer last night, it was a contentious interview for the most part, right?
From the get-go.
They didn't go out for dinner after
no, they
it was
didn't.
Over and just...
They didn't fist bump.
No, they didn't
fist bump.
Not going to be a Christmas card shared between those two families.
Probably there. Not.
Probably not.
She would call it a holiday
card. So what was the second part that you thought worthy of bringing up?
Well, I mean, like, the other clips here...
The border part.
...includes immigration. I mean, right off the bat, for those that didn't see it, Brett Baer's first question was... And by the way, check out our Facebook page, because I posted a link to the entire video for those that want to go back and watch it or didn't watch it at all. You can do that. From the very start, Brett Baer's first question was... How many illegal immigrants would you say this administration has allowed into this country? She didn't answer the question, so then he threw the number out. And then soon after that, he rattled off the various Americans who have been murdered, allegedly, by illegal immigrants, and asked her point blank on national television whether she would apologize to the families of victims of crimes committed by illegal immigrants. I have the audio clip, too.
Jocelyn Nungeri. Rachel Morin, Lakin Riley, they are young women who were brutally assaulted and killed by some of the men who were released at the beginning of the administration.
No,
do you
no, no,
owe
Brett,
those families
I think
an apology?
Let me just say, first of all, those are tragic cases. There's no question about that. There is no question about that. And I can't imagine the pain that the families of those victims have experienced. For a loss that should not have occurred. So that is true. It is also true that if a border security had actually been passed 9 months ago, it would be 9 months that we would have had more border agents at the border, more support for the folks who are working around the clock trying to hold it all together.
Madam Vice President.
To ensure that no future harm would occur. And this election in 20 days will determine whether we have a president of the United States who actually cares more about fixing a problem, even if it is not to their political advantage in an election, because there was a solution, Brett.
Now, they're talking of the question began with you let these people in when you entered office. And she talks about how the border bill would have prevented this, and it would not, because those people were already in the country, the people that are accused
of murdering
these people.
Did he point that out?
No.
Okay. Of course.
Well, in setting up the question, though, his question was, wait a minute, you came into office.
Right.
For the last 3.5 years,
right.
You have been in charge of the border.
Right.
The backdrop to all of this is that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden erased all the elements that mm-hmm. Donald Trump had put in place to secure the border.
And they did that proudly.
And they did it. The other thing we need to point out, one of the references was to the death of one young lady. Mm-hmm. She was killed by a man who's now charged. He's an illegal alien. A year and a half ago.
Yeah.
She references a bill that just was put in 9 months ago.
Yeah.
So
that's what I was saying.
That was tried to be implemented
mm-hmm. yes.
9 months ago.
This is her go-to point,
right.
And she's
right.
been doing this even prior to this interview last night.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why she doesn't just say this, Ray. And I know y'all are going to say, well, that's nuts. Why would anybody say that? If I were her, because this is really what she believes, what I'm about to tell you, because I can read her mind. What she really believes, Kamala Harris, she doesn't believe in borders. She thinks they're immoral. It keeps people from coming here who want to come here for a better life and to vote Democrat and for free medical care. And that's what we should be doing. That's what those are her actions and her words prior to her becoming vice president. We had the clip of her at a rally where she's dancing and she's saying, yes, yes, education, no, no, deportation. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yeah.
She's chanting with the group. She's like, lifting her hands like she's doing some kind of celebratory dance. Okay. This is who she is. The reason she hasn't done anything about the border, even though she's been the border czar, remember when, now she wasn't. That wasn't her proper title, but that's what Biden appointed her as. Remember that early on?
Yep.
I've appointed Vice President Harris. She's well capable of taking care of. She's going to find out why this people are coming here by the millions. We're going to, that itself, by the way, was window dressing because that was gaslighting, because they were getting a lot of heat, Biden and Harris, for what was happening. But with the, after he went into office and then all these people started coming over the border by the millions, well, what happened was that's Biden and Harris did away with everything that Trump had done and put in place. And they, remember, they were doing that proudly. They were saying, no, these are racist. These are racist policies that keep people from coming here. They're inhumane. Walls are inhumane. Remember that?
Yep.
Well, then we invite a surge. Mm-hmm. We want to pay for everybody's health care who can get here from around the world. Remember that?
Yes.
So, and they raised their hands at the Democrat, Harris and Biden did. Yes, we want to pay for everybody's health care who comes here illegally. To not do so is immoral. So I'm just saying, I think she would probably be better off to make that appeal than to try to obfuscate or to try to deny that she's always been for open borders. That, I mean, that's been her. So, Ray, what do you think there?
Look, her answer was as ambiguous as it could possibly
right.
be. You're right. She and Joe Biden are pro-open borders.
Right.
And I don't think any serious voter who knows anything about the record is going to believe that suddenly she's decided to become strong on border security. She
right.
doesn't even believe in border security.
Right. I'm telling you, some of these Democrats, they just do better just to say, yeah, for open borders, what's your next question?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's their actions are open border actions.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what's happened.
Yeah.
They've been in office long enough for us to see the results of their
right.
policy.
Right.
When they removed border construction, when they stopped Remain in Mexico.
Right. That was a big deal.
That was a big deal. Now we have seen the results of all of this. We have seen the results in violent deaths
right.
of young men, women,
right.
and children. We have seen the results in fentanyl deaths,
right.
thousands.
Right.
We have seen the results just recently in Colorado, Venezuelan gangs taking over apartment buildings. See, they were hoping none of this would happen, but it has. Now they're depending on the mainstream media, which...
to cover for
our friends of the Democratic yeah. Party to cover for them.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to do one other segment here with Harris and Brett Baer, VP Harris and Brett Baer last night, if you have it, Chris. And that is when Brett Baer asked her, hey, you've been in meetings with Joe Biden for 3 years. You didn't know he was, you didn't know he was in this sad condition. Do you have that?
I don't have it with me, but I can have Steve get it for us.
Well, maybe Steve has it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
What happened in that?
Well, she immediately went to. Things have been going on. Bad things have been going on for 10 years, and Donald Trump
with
was
Biden.
Yeah,
I'm talking about Biden's mental decline.
Oh, mental decline.
Yeah.
Oh no, what she went to on that front, as she did every question she went to Donald Trump.
She's responsible for Biden's mental decline?
I'll have Steve grab
that. No, she stayed away from all of that.
Okay.
She said what you really need to be concerned about is the mental stability of Donald Trump. That's
all
what
right.
she went
well,
to.
Right. Anyway, did you see that? Did you see much of the interview, Ray? Did you see clips or what?
Just the clips.
Okay.
Since then, yeah.
Well, maybe we can get that, but that, to me, I watched that.
Yeah.
I watched when Brett Baer asked her, hey, you've been in meetings with Biden. You didn't know something was wrong? That's the essence of his question, right?
Pretty straight
right.
up. Pretty straight up.
Yeah. Again, I think she would have done better to say this. I mean, she had no answer. She was fumbling around. She was, I've forgotten what she even said exactly. I think she was flummoxed by that question. But again, I think she would have probably done better. What do you say?
One thing, you know, she has talked about how Trump is a hothead and we can't have him back in the office the way he acts. But at one point, she was visibly angry. And this
she
is
was a
where,
hothead?
Yeah, this is where television trumps radio sometimes and things. Because at one moment, at one point during the interview, she got mad and her voice changed. Her voice got deeper and she started shaking her finger
yeah.
at Brett Baer.
Yeah.
Shaking her finger.
Yeah, like pointing him, like,
she,
you know,
she's 3 feet away.
She, yep. You know, trying to give him the business.
But on that same thing, on the same topic, she flip-flopped again.
On what topic?
Remember, she's been interviewed twice now in the last couple of weeks, and she was asked about about how she would change things. And she said maybe interviews on a couple of other stations. Yeah. She said,
what would you do differently?
I wouldn't do anything differently. Mm-hmm. And last night, what she said was last night, Joe Biden's not on the ticket.
She tried to make it about Trump.
If I were her, I would say this. Again, maybe my answers are not politically correct enough, but I would just say, listen, I've been vice president for 3.5 years. Yeah, I've been in meetings with Joe Biden, and he's losing it. And I've known that for a couple of years.
She could never say that, could she? She couldn't say that.
Why not? Just say I've known that for a couple of years, but I'm only vice president. What do you want me to do?
Right.
Go out and call out my own president on TV for being in mental decline? Who does that?
I think some voters would appreciate honesty in that.
Well, I mean, that's what I've just said is the actual truth.
Well, it is the truth.
So why wouldn't you just say that?
Because she wants to win the election. Yeah.
Well, does it hurt her to admit that she's known that that Biden's been on the decline?
Yes, it would hurt her.
She was out there for the last 3.5, particularly the last year and a half, I would say, he's brilliant.
Okay, I don't know that hurts her any worse than trying to do what she's doing now and that play dumb. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know what was – he was sharp as a tack up until the debate.
Yeah.
Huh? Nobody believes that either.
Nope.
Another miscalculation I think she made last night was she has tried to pin all of the blame on the lack of a border bill on Donald Trump. But at one point when Brett Baer kept pointing out, hey, even 6 Democrats voted against this bill, it wasn't all Republicans. At one point she just broke down and said, look, we had a broken border before Donald Trump was
president. Well, that is true.
It is.
But that's only part of it. Donald Trump, when he was in office, did as much or more than any other president to secure the southern border. They even denied him, the Democrats, the money to build more secure walls in places that need walls and fences, but they denied him the money. They said it was immoral to put up walls. So,
you know, I think when it comes to the border, the American people know the truth.
Yeah.
They know that she is just blowing smoke when she talks about bills.
Yep.
There was a bill in place. No.
Well, her bill and the Democrats here's you got to be. Well, we've talked about this before. You have to sort of watch their words and because they'll say we're for comprehensive immigration reform. That's what the Democrats say.
Right.
And the Republicans are against that. I.e., that would solve the problem. Well, what they don't tell you most of the time is what the Democrats are talking about is a, quote, pathway to citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
That's their answer to immigration reform. Comprehensive immigration reform?
Yes.
Most Americans look at the door where the people are flooding in, and they say, shut the door. We want you to shut the door because we have to have order, law and order in this country, and there's a legal process for coming to America. Shut the door. Harris and Biden say, no, we're not going to shut the door. We want the door to be open. We just want everybody to fill out their papers when they get here so they can get a pathway to citizenship. You see the difference?
Yep.
And Trump, well, he was in office, shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
He shut the door, and he tried best he could to shut the door. Again, Trump and the Republicans are not opposed to immigration.
No.
But because Trump's proposed a lot of people coming here, millions, over a million a year. But you come here illegally, and quite frankly, you're supposed to be able to come and, unless you're escaping for political asylum reasons, you're supposed to come with a skill.
Yes.
And you're supposed to come and be able to
contribute
and support yourself. In fact, Fred, I remember you telling me, because there's a lot of immigration going on to Canada from around the world, especially from Asian countries, and there's a stipulation in your home country of Canada.
Yes.
If you want to come and live here, what do you have to do?
Well, what happened during when Hong Kong was about to be turned back over to China?
Right.
There was a flood of applications from people in Hong Kong to come to Canada. But they had to prove they were going to be financially independent. In other words, they weren't going to live off the government.
Right.
That's
you have to say you can support yourself when you come here.
When I applied for a green card to come to this country, my father-in-law had to sign a document saying if Fred Jackson ever becomes unemployed, I will take care of my son-in-law. He will not be a burden on the state. I had to sign, or I wouldn't get a green card.
Right, right, right. So anyway, so Ray, you don't think my thing about, yeah, I've known Biden's.
Can you imagine if she said that? Because then the next question from Brett Baer would be, well, shouldn't he step down if he has lost all mental acuity, right?
Who? I would say yes if I were her.
Man, I don't.
So we have to play these games, huh?
Yes, we do. Yes.
You have to play the games.
You have to play the game.
She should say yes, he should step down.
That was her moment.
Have you seen him?
Look,
I've seen him.
He's 81. I'm 59. Put me in. New way forward.
Right, right.
She wants the American public to believe that she has changed. She's anti-fracking. Right. Now she's pro-fracking.
Right.
She has flipped and flipped and flipped on all the major issues that she knows would cost her the election. And she is hoping with the support of the mainstream media, she can fool the American people into believing she's someone else now.
Yeah. I think the only reason she is close is because, and I know people who favor and like Donald Trump aren't going to want to hear this necessarily, but there is a massive anti-Trump sentiment out there too.
Sure.
In America, but there's a massive anti-Harris sentiment. So it's kind of like whoever wins is whoever the American people like more than the one that they don't like
or dislike the least.
Something like, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Because I saw the polls yesterday, and it had Harris and Trump both at the same in terms of their favorability and unfavorability number.
Right.
So that's why the race is, at least the poll show, is very, very, very tight, very close.
19 days away.
It can't come here soon enough. Yeah. We'll be back momentarily with more.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.